Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 48, interview with photographer and entrepreneur Courtney Z. We had an inspiring conversation about the work she's doing to create a place for creative professionals to succeed and thrive with their businesses. Show notes for this episode are available at gettingworktowork.com/48. You ready to get into this interview with Courtney? Let's get started. Courtney, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. I know you for Courtney Z Photography, and I just noticed you have a session on this thing called Creative Homeroom. What are you up to? What do you do?
So I started my photography business probably 5 years ago. And when I started my business, so let me back up. First, I was in research. I was in neurology at the time, thinking about going to med school. And then after working in research for a few years, really found out that that was not for me. But I really like that analytical side of it. But I really missed just kind of having this creative expression, and not necessarily in creativity like you would think of in photography or like illustration or drawing or something like that, but the creativity to be autonomous over your own work and over solving different problems. And so when I started my photography business, it was really to have some sort of a creative outlet. But when I started my business, I realized that running any kind of creative business, a lot of people think that it is just taking pictures all day long or shooting video all day long. But really, it's only probably about 15% of doing whatever it is your creative profession is, and then about 85% business. And I really struggled with figuring out where the standards were for starting a creative business or any kind of help, particularly in the creative industry, particularly here in Portland. I mean, there's a lot of online resources, but like a lot of people, I'm not great at completing those online resources. So to make a long story long, I really love the business end of it. And I think starting my photography business, I found out how much I like the business end of it. So I went back to go get my MBA, and I started Homeroom as a way to help other creatives better their business and to do it in a way that is specifically targeting the creative market and helping them starting to see themselves as a business and helping them in different areas where they find specific challenges, and offering some one-on-one help and in-person workshops.
What was interesting was I didn't realize that Homeroom was you. I know we had had that conversation in the past that you wanted to start this thing. So it's really cool to know that Homeroom is yours and that you're bringing that alive and combining that passion of research and analytical side.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times creatives, that doesn't come naturally for them. And I think that they struggle with that a lot of times, but it's not necessarily because they're not good at it. It's just because those resources aren't there and they didn't necessarily have the opportunity to learn them.
It's interesting that you mentioned just scarcity of resources, because we think, oh, there's so many online. And you kind of mentioned just the completion aspect of it. Is that something that you considered, you know, what platform you create, whether you want it to be online or in person?
Online is really great in a lot of ways. It's easy. It's convenient. Somebody can sell it for relatively inexpensive and be able to make a living off of it because you're selling it to people all over the world. The problem with online is, and I've had this same experience sometimes when I go to workshops, but the problem with online specifically is that you get all of this information, but you're still left to your own devices. And I have spoken to many people that have the same issue that I do, that you will, and I have a handful of Creative Live classes where I say, I'm going to watch it. And sometimes I will watch it, but usually if it's a difficult topic, like a business topic, like finances, for instance, once it gets to a hard part or a part where I'm stuck on or I have questions about, I quit, because it's really hard to get past that bump when you don't have, you can't easily just raise your hand and say, hey, can you explain that a little bit more? I've spoken to a lot of creatives who have so many online courses or online something that they have just built up and they've spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars on. And they have the best of intentions of doing it, but I don't necessarily, if you're serious about your business, I don't necessarily see that as the most efficient way to make your business successful or to learn a business skill, I should say. You know, I've been to lectures and various workshops where I take pages and pages and pages of notes, and then I come home and I have my notebook of notes and I put them on my desk, and then they sit there in the corner of the desk for the next 6 months, and I never look at them ever again. And when I took them, I had all these ideas and the best of intention for it, but with a lot of workshops, there's no accountability for it. My intention with Homeroom is to create a space where people have in-person help, where they can go and ask questions, but they also have this accountability. And how I'm building it is a 2-day workshop with at least a week in between. And sometimes, depending on the topic, it'll be more than 2 days. But then that way you have a week to go back, implement those new strategies within your business that you learned, and then come back a week later and be able to ask questions, be able to get unstuck, and then go into a deeper level of understanding from after that basic first day.
How did you fall into that structure?
Honestly, just from my experience of not doing things unless I'm held accountable.
That's awesome.
And I always have, I think everybody does, I always have the best of intentions when I start off. There's something about that in-person accountability that seems to be the best way to learn.
So when you're doing all these things, photography, homeroom, working on an MBA, what motivates you? How do you keep it all straight and focus on one thing after another and get it all done?
Oh, that's a good question. I think keeping it all straight has been a challenge in a lot of ways. So far, I have found that creating lists and creating structured, manageable lists has been the best way for me to slowly cross things off. It gets really overwhelming sometimes when I go to sit at my desk in the morning and I feel like I have this pile of things to do in all these different areas and it's really hard to prioritize them. Then you just don't want to do any of it because it all seems overwhelming. But I think that for me, it's been, at least from a day-to-day standpoint, it's been creating like small manageable things. And if I can do one thing, then I start to feel more accomplished and then it'll be easier to go on to that next thing. In the bigger scheme of things, I really get a lot of my motivation from talking to people and from going out and talking to other photographers. And when I did that, I found that they were having a lot of the same struggles that I had started out with, and that there's some resources out there, but really there's no resources that I have found that's targeting the creative industry that's in person that will teach you like what are different strategies for pricing? How do you manage your expenses and your revenue? And in hearing other photographers talk about their struggle with that and talk about how they don't know how to keep it all together, so they just kind of guess. And then talking to other designers who do the same thing because the information isn't really out there, because I found that everybody's guessing. So nobody wants to talk about it because they feel really insecure about it, which is totally understandable and normal. But there has to be a place to be able to go talk about it so that you can start to feel more confident about it. And that put me on a long tangent, because you can tell like that's kind of where I get motivated, is from talking to people that face that struggle within their own business. And then knowing that there is this better way to do it and to be able to help elevate the entire creative industry. Because in Portland, that's one of the coolest things about our city, is the creativity that lives here.
Absolutely. I can hear the passion in your voice as you're talking about meeting with people. I mean, would you say that your passion is to make people less scared about money?
Yes. Money's really scary. And it's still scary for me. I don't want to say that like I figured everything out and that I am past all that. It's scary because there's so much that relies on money. And there's a lot of shame in not knowing how to organize your money and how to do it effectively and efficiently. And people don't want to talk about it. And people don't want to openly talk about how to figure it out and openly talk about that they feel like they're failing with their money. So I think that there's a lot of things that stem from finances, but I have found when people start to feel confident about it, then it's a lot easier to talk about it. It's a lot easier to ask your clients for what you know you're worth, because you know where all those dollars and cents are going. You know what's going to your expenses. You know what you're getting paid. You know what you're putting back into your business. And when you understand it, you can talk about it in a way and your clients will feel that and be able to know that that's what it is. It's, you know, it's like kind of when you go into West Elm versus Target, like West Elm charges so much more for a somewhat similar thing. But when you go into the store, you like feel that value that's added in because they're very confident about how they show it.
You mentioned value, and I don't know about you, but when I think about value and when I talk with other creatives about value, that also seems to be something that people at times are just making up. And so how have you thought about value or had how you think about value change over the years?
Yeah, that's hard because I have found that creatives tend to be very sensitive people. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what drives them to the creative industry. And you put so much of your heart and soul into your work as a creative, and you have to be good at it, to be really good at it. You have to feel what you're doing and feel it with your whole being as you're doing it. But the hard part about it is, as creatives, it's really hard to not take it personally, like to be able to step back from it because you're putting your whole self into it. And then in a lot of ways to do it as a business, you almost have to like become a second person and step back from it and be able to see it as a business and no longer as your work and what you do, but as this creative concept that you're selling. And that is really hard to do, and it's really personal. And I think that a lot of people find it easier to undervalue themselves than they do to accurately value themselves. I mean, there are some people I would say that overvalue themselves, but for the most part, I think the creative industry drastically undervalues itself. I think for the reason that it's really close to home, and you don't want to hear bad things about it, and you don't want to hear someone tell you, no, you're not worth that when you just put your heart and soul into it, or that it's terrible or they don't like it. So you want to be safe and say, oh yeah, it's worth this much. It's worth half the amount that I actually feel that it's worth or know that it's worth, because that's a safe bet.
How do you get people past that? I mean, how do you get them to see value when it is so close?
I think it's a mental exercise to be able to switch it on and off. When you're with your client and when you're doing your thing, whether that is photography or when you're designing, you know, I've worked with a good amount of graphic designers that design for different businesses. And so when you're working with them and you're trying to kind of see and feel who they are and what they're doing and translate that into whatever medium you use, whether it be graphic design or photography or illustration or drawing or whatever it is, that needs to be there. That connection and that personalization really needs to be there. But there's this shift that has to happen, that if you want to stop seeing yourself as just doing this for a hobby, you have to start seeing yourself as a business in every way possible. And so stepping out of that zone and being able to see, where is the need for what I do? Where is my target market? And I don't, by target market, I don't just mean like women ages 29 to this. I mean, like, seriously, what are they doing? Like, where do they like to shop? Like, your real target market. So within your market, what can you charge for that? And then really looking at, what are your expenses? How much time are you spending on everything? And how much revenue do you need to bring in to be able to pay for all of those things and be able to pay yourself and your own personal expenses? I think being able to step back and see yourself as a true, real business that has to function and has to maintain stability in order to be successful in the long term helps people to start looking at it objectively and be able to see value objectively.
So I'm in a transition based upon what you just mentioned about target markets. And in April, I'm doing a series on clients. And so how do you find your clients? How did you go about defining your target market?
Part of my challenge as a photographer is finding a target market in an industry that continuously devalues itself. And I think video probably deals with that a lot too. But I get clients mostly through word of mouth, sometimes through making connections with different vendors or where I think my target market might go. And so for photography, I mostly do weddings and family photography. And for a lot of families, they have online groups, they have, you know, mom and me groups, they have birthing classes. And so trying to target where I think my target market might go and might see value in that. A lot of times I think that people see more value in whoever they already value giving a recommendation or talking about it, more than they would just off the street, or if they know that person directly, they find more value in kind of this stranger that something or someone else recommended that they've already placed value in that spot. And so I've found the most success there. For homeroom, it's sometimes challenging, and that's probably my biggest challenge right now, just reaching out to people and get them to know that this exists and be able to see the value in it, especially because since homeroom offers a more in-depth workshop than most other places or a lot of other places that I found, it costs more money. But the value is there, but I have to like show people that that value is there. So right now, I think the inertia of that is always the most challenging for every business.
Once you find your clients, how do you know whether they're right for you? Because not every client is going to be right for you, even if they're in your target market.
I think that's really important to distinguish that. And I think it's important to work with people that you don't want to work with, because you need to figure out, that's how you really hone in on who your ideal clients are within your target market. And I've worked with a handful of clients that I thought were going to be fantastic. And then in working with them, it's like a nightmare. That doesn't happen that often. It's happened, you know, once or twice. But in doing that, it really helps to hone down who you want to work with, because nobody wants to be at a job where they hate working with the people they're working with. So I think in a lot of ways, it's a great opportunity for you to be able to say, okay, how did this person hear of me? What did I not like about working with this person? Because everybody is somebody's ideal client. And so what did I not like about this person? What about my business drew this person to me? And sometimes that's, you just kind of get that. You have this bell curve about who you target, and then you're going to get people on either end of that. So you might get that anyway, but you want to constantly keep updating and making sure that you're not targeting people that aren't your ideal client.
Awesome. You've talked a little bit about success and that you want creative professionals to really have a better sense of money. But how does someone get out of the way of their own success? Because oftentimes, you know, circling back to the conversation about value and seeing yourselves as a business, I think sometimes really talented artists and designers can actually sabotage themselves. So how can we get out of our own way and actually get our work to work?
This is, I think, another challenge with creative people is that because we're such a sensitive group, and I think that a lot of times we self-sabotage, and a lot of other people do that too. It's not necessarily just creatives, but I think creatives tend to do it more than others. I think the fear of failure is really big, and that's really, really hard to overcome. I'm actually working with a professor at the Art Institute that we're trying to put together a workshop at Homeroom about this, about how to get out of your own way. No matter what stage you are in your business, you are always going to encounter that. But I think that it's really important, kind of like you just mentioned, to separate yourself from your business and be able to make that shift of what's important to you and what's going to help your business to be successful. When you are your own business, it makes it really challenging because you're the one doing it. You're the one, you know, failing or succeeding, however it is. You're the one putting yourselves out there and being vulnerable, which is really, really hard to do. And so I think that it's a constant line to walk. You hear a lot of people say, if you ever feel like you're doing well, you're missing something, you're not doing something right, because every entrepreneur constantly feels like they're failing or constantly feels like they're about to fail. And it's this like constant dread mixed with like slowly kind of moving up the ladder. But I think that it's important in that to find those small successes and to not diminish them and to really kind of look at where you were in your craft 2 years ago versus where you are now, and really like relish in the success of how much better you've gotten. And then on the business side too, like really relish in knowing that you have a greater understanding of your business and hopefully are doing much better in your business than where you were 2 years ago, and to not diminish the importance of that.
It's funny too, because I have a friend who really frames things in a way that makes me think differently about success as well. It's like when we talk about taxes, she always says, yeah, I got to pay more taxes this year. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she's like, no, that's a great thing. That means I made more money. And it's just like, even that simple reframe was enough to kind of make me check, you know, that paying more tax sometimes equates to, I don't know if it equates to failure or what, but sometimes it's just like having that recheck is good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great way to put it too, is that you want to be paying more taxes. That means you're doing something right. If you're not paying taxes, or if you're getting way too much back, then maybe you should kind of look at stuff.
So it's December 31st, 2017. What did you do this year? Looking back, what did you do?
Oh, gosh. I think that a lot more people know what Homeroom is and have been to workshops and have found it successful for their business and helpful for their business and have referred their friends to it so that we can keep Homeroom going into 2018 and make it even better. I will have just finished my MBA, which will be awesome because then I will be much more free and available during the week. And I will hopefully have like a more clear picture of the future of Homeroom, because I think there are a lot of really awesome and exciting avenues that it could take. And since we're kind of in this inertia phase of the business, sometimes it's hard to kind of figure out where that might go. And hopefully in December 31st, that will become a lot more clear.
It's always a tough question to answer, because you have to think about what you want to do and then, okay, am I really going to do that? Or is it just something that I really want to do this year?
I always find it really hard to like put 1 year and 5 year goals, because in my head, I always want to be the person that achieves my goals. And So it's been really hard for me to realize, like, okay, but your goals can change. Maybe your goal is for your business to go in this direction. But once you kind of start going in that direction, then you find out, I think this direction is actually better. This path is better. It's always hard for me to set those goals because in my head at the beginning, I'm like, but that means I have to achieve it. So I have to tell myself nothing's set in stone. Everything can kind of change. Hopefully it's just shifting into something better. And that means you're figuring it out.
So what's the worst advice people give creative professionals about money?
Here's a good one. When it comes to pricing, that pricing is solely based on where the market is. And I don't mean that in terms of that's not true, because it is. You can't price way outside of your market. But you also have to know where all of your expenses are going and that you can cover that and that pricing will make sense to sustain a business. I think a lot of creatives hear that advice, that find out where the market is and then kind of price yourself accordingly within the market, but they don't actually look at their own solid individual numbers. And I think that has led to a lot of deflation in the market. I think that people say, like, oh, this is where the market is. So I'm fairly new and I don't know where to price myself for this. So I'm just going to price myself a little bit under where I think the market is without really knowing it. And so I think that it leads to a lot of guessing and it leads to a lot of people just going way, way, way under where they need to be a sustainable business.
So on the other side of that coin, what's the best advice creative professionals should have about money?
Know your numbers. You don't need to know everything about business. You don't need to be able to price every single little thing out. You don't need to know, like, have the best strategy for everything. You have to know your numbers, what's coming in and what's going out, and make sure that it'll cover it. And make sure that you feel good about what you're charging because you can cover all of your expenses and be able to pay yourself.
Which is an incredibly important thing to do.
Yes, because usually a lot of creatives will say, or not just creatives, but just small businesses and startups will say, these are my expenses. So I'm just going to double it or 1.5 times it so that I can pay all of my expenses and then I have a little bit left over. But you kind of forget that half of your expenses or that extra, that if you double it, that second half of what you're charging may not be enough to cover all of your time that you have to do it, to create whatever it is you're creating, and to have a little bit left over for your fixed expenses in your business. Because I think a lot of places I've seen online also, they just say, what are your expenses? List all of your expenses. Make sure you can cover all those. But they're not telling people there is a big difference between variable expenses and fixed expenses. And your variable expenses are expenses per job. And your fixed expenses are expenses that you need just to be able to stay in business for the whole year, like your website and your license and your rent if you have a studio or stuff like that.
Well, one final question that I have for you is, what book or resource are you reading or viewing right now that's really challenging you to grow? Apart from your MBA, of course.
Yeah, I think that in terms of reading, my MBA has kind of had everything on lockdown for reading time, but I've been listening to the How I Built This podcast, which I think a lot of people listen to. I constantly find it really inspiring to hear people about where they started. And I mean, there are these huge successful businesses. I just listened to the one about the guy that started Power Rangers. And it's an incredible story about how he like started in the music industry. And then he moved over to LA and started scoring cartoon. Like he did the Inspector Gadget theme song. And then he started his business there. And then he really liked these Power Rangers cartoons. I think they were cartoons at first. And everybody told him no. Hearing other people's story and just kind of hearing their perseverance and how that they just kept trudging, at least for me in my business right now, is really inspiring to continue to keep trudging and to continue to really build something that I believe in and that I really want to be successful, and that I, you know, if you're putting your heart and soul into it, you want to know or feel that at the end that it's going to be worthwhile. So that podcast has helped a lot just to keep me moving and keep me inspired.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
That's all that I have now, but I'm sure there's so many questions that I could ask you right now. But thank you for your time, and I am just so inspired by the work that you're doing and can't wait to see where you end up this year.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'd love to come back anytime.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thanks to Courtney for taking time away from her studies and the work she's putting in to create Homeroom and her photography business. Be sure to head to the show notes for this episode at gettingworktowork.com/48 to find links to Courtney's businesses. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast, and I hope the series this month on clients is inspiring and motivating you to improve your business. May creativity and curiosity fuel your life.